All right, we got a bit of a special episode for you guys today. This is another episode of Theater Cleaners. I'm Todd, with me is Dom, and today we're going to be talking about Dead Poets Society. And just to preface, this is the first episode this season that's just Dom and I, so we're going to have a bit of a good time and be a little relaxed along with it. Welcome our guests, no one, because they all hopped on an episode and were like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, you guys are awful. We don't like talking to you.
Yeah, we're totally not butthurt about it or anything.
Yeah, it's probably not true that they don't want to do it again.
Yeah, we're just speculating.
You know, we really think that nobody actually likes to talk to us ever.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's nice to like feel like we're wanted.
Yeah. You know?
Either way, we had a good time talking to them. It kind of reminds me of
a poem that I read one time.
Oh, speaking of poems, Dead Poets Society has a lot of that in there. And they talk a lot about Walt Whitman and Thoreau. And I just want to bring up a little fun fact before we really dive into anything.
Do they thoroughly talk about Thoreau? Sorry.
Not really. But either way, this movie is like always been one of my favorites because it's kind of at the intersection between like what I went to school for. Because I originally went to school as an English major and I did all the poetry classes and, you know, poems, did all that kind of, oh, Captain, my Captain kind of stuff.
And that's why he's wearing a sweater.
Yes, clearly. But no, I used to do all that kind of stuff and then I switched over to film and that ultimately led us here. And now I get to put Dom in the hot seat to give us the synopsis as to what Dead Poets is about.
See, and I can flip that around by saying no. But I won't.
All right.
I'm just kidding. So a brief synopsis of the movie, The Dead Poets Society.
Nailed it.
Because definitely didn't say the wrong movie before, and then we had to start over. Because that would never happen. I would never make a mistake such as that. A new English teacher, John Keating, is introduced to an all-boys preparatory school that is known for its ancient traditions and high standards. He uses unorthodox methods to reach out to his students who face enormous pressures from their parents and the school. With Keating's help, students Neil Perry, Todd Anderson, and others learn to break out of their shells, pursue their dreams, and seize the day. Carpe diem.
Seize the day, boys.
I didn't mess up.
You didn't, and you nailed the punctuation this time.
I did nail the punctuation this time.
Dude, can't everybody, quick clap for Dom, okay? Good job, buddy.
You did it. I've cured my dyslexia. I've conquered it, cured. It's over, done. That's it.
It's over. It's done.
I can spell.
You no longer have a problem.
Super fragilistic expialidocious. I can spell that. I'm not gonna, but I could.
You could. You definitely could.
I cured it. I know how to spell every word. Give me some really long word.
Also, early on, I just want to give a fat shout out to this movie for having a character named Todd. That hardly ever happens.
I'm still waiting for one with a character named Dom.
We'll get there someday, dude.
Actually, no, that's wrong. Inglourious Basterds. There is a Dominic in that movie.
We didn't watch that, though.
I know, but I know it exists.
That's fair. That's fair, and you should feel supported.
Yes.
Your name matters.
Dominic the Coco, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm. I was more of an Antonio Margheriti guy, but...
You know the funny thing about that, real quick, on this topic, because I have ADD, is both of those characters that we just named were pretending to be movie people.
Yes.
In that scene.
Yes.
Let's continue back to the movie that we actually talked about today.
Yes, Dead Poets. So, obviously, like, it starts off, like, establishing kind of like the vibe at the school, which is like such a bad vibe and I don't like it, and it put me in like such an like anxious feeling in the opening scene every single time.
The opening scene was it was the meeting, right? Like they started
like everybody's
off
coming
this,
into the school,
the ceremony or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like walking in the flags with their like four pillars or their four tenants or whatever.
It was almost like a graduation ceremony but without graduating.
It's to start the year. It seems super weird.
Yeah, it's like it's the beginning of the year. Like, we went to public school.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the year pep rally. But instead of being peppy, it was like, this is going to suck.
You will follow your academic regimen.
Yeah.
And you will not enjoy it, but you'll do it because you're all going to be doctors, lawyers, bankers, and you're going to go to an Ivy League.
And there's
guarantee it.
And there's no nepotism. Just kidding. There's plenty of that.
Well, like straight up, even even Neil's character, he's like, I don't have, my family doesn't have money like Nwanda's. I can never remember Nwanda's real name. I think it's Charlie.
What is that character's name?
Dude, right? He's Nwanda. It's just Nwanda, dude. I don't think...
Speaking of that, half of the characters in this movie like actually care about the poetry, the Dead Poet Society, and then we're jumping around a whole lot. But the other half, I feel like, are just making fun of it the whole time. You notice that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like that's kind of how it would be.
It feels real.
Like,
yeah.
Well, it's like their clique or their like study group or whatever. They're all like, you guys are just my friends at this boarding school. And I feel like at a boarding school, it's just your friends are your friends. You just do what they do.
Like Neil actually cares about it.
Neil definitely
does. Todd actually cares about it. Todd just wants to be a part of something. I think Todd actually wants to care about it, but he's afraid of caring about it.
That's fact.
For the look of it, kind of.
Dude, and we'll get into this later, but character development in the story is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And then Nwanda is on the side of just like making fun of it the whole time.
Dude, I think Nwanda's on the side of just like, fuck the system. Like whatever lets me like stick it to the man. He's a bit of an anarchist. He is, dude. And that's why he's the only one who gets expelled.
Well, yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play along.
Dude, they brush past it real quick because when they're doing the like review of Mr. Keating or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, like Nwanda's expelled.
Because he doesn't play along. He didn't play along with
He was like, no, I ain't signing that shit. Which is like true Nwanda fashion, you know? Yeah. Big baller. But no, to the going into like some of the characters.
No.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm in a feisty mood right now.
You are in a feisty mood. I'm here for it, dude. It's because you got the boots on. You got your shit kickers going on.
No, these are not shit kickers. These are nice.
They are nice. I'm just meaning you're gonna the shit, dude.
No, take no shit kickers. Take no prison. The boots that you wear in the mud.
Whatever, dude.
Or well. The shit.
Yeah. But no, I just wanted to like go into some of like the actors, the casting and like their performances.
So who do you want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about...
I want to talk about the group.
The group in general.
Like the study group.
The dynamic of them.
Yeah, because I think they were all really like well cast for each of their roles. And I think they all like learned their little ticks, tricks and mannerisms like really well. Like, okay, so... think about that first scene in the classroom where Mr. Keating walks straight through the group and goes out towards the trophy case, right? He starts asking questions. The first thing he asks is to like Mr. Pitts, right? And Mr. Pitts is just kind of like, oh, whatever, you know, don't ask me this question. But then it's like they're talking about something else. And I think they get into like, oh, Captain, my captain. And when they start talking or they start reciting the poem, Todd's character, his head is just buried into the ground and he just sparks up and he's like, I'm listening. You piqued my interest. And then he goes to like asking the question that's like the non-poetry question and Meeks, he's just like, I got you, like, because he's the nerdy one.
Nobody,
you know,
likes Meeks.
He's just like, dude, I love that character.
Wait, was Meeks the one that like ratted?
No, that's like, I think his name's Cameron.
Okay.
Meeks and Pitts are the dudes who were like the nerds, but they're
radios.
Like cool nerds.
They made the radio, right?
They made the radio. That's what I mean by like they're the cool nerds.
So Cameron's the one that nobody likes because he ratted.
Yeah, he's a rat.
Don't be a rat.
Don't be a rat.
Don't be a rat.
You don't want to be that.
Nope.
But okay, even going into the casting,
Pitts is the hella tall one. That's right.
Pitts is the hella tall one. But Kurtwood Smith, the dad, Neil's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to be like that 70s show was like a normal staple for me to like get home from school and go and watch that. And you always see Kurtwood playing Red Foreman and he's always like, you know, I'll put a foot up your ass. Always just a stern dad. And it was just like perfect casting for him to play that role. But it was also like
the dad.
Yeah. But it's like in that 70s show, he's definitely like the mean but funny dad, and in this he's just like
the mean dad,
the mean and there's stern no dad. There's no funniness funny. To him, and he's a very much more like serious role. And like the only bit that I was like, I don't like what you did is the slow-mo right after the climax with Neil happens, and he's just like, no, my son, my boy. It just felt like very over the top for
did
what
it feel
was.
Did it feel like a little Harry Potter? Like, no!
I've never watched Harry Potter.
Okay, well, never mind.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's cool. It's whatever, dude.
I actually am surprised that you've never watched Harry Potter.
I haven't watched that or Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Sorry about you.
Just let that sink in for a second.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. But like,
I think actually, hold on, Todd.
You just shut it.
Okay, dude. Say your piece.
You're fired, actually.
All right, call it a show then. You can finish this off the rest.
No,
the
but rest yourself. You still have to like.
Oh, I still have to finish this episode. But I'm fired. After.
And then the other ones also.
Oh, okay.
But you are fired.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Noted.
But you're going to have to stay for the rest of the episodes and then like the future episodes and everything.
Okay.
Oh, you're fired. Cool. Yeah. Just remember, you're fired, kid.
I'm fired. No, but I feel like everybody has seen? Like one trilogy series that's super fantasy. That's like, that's their one, you know?
And what's yours?
Star Wars.
Okay. Like, if you're talking, I've seen Star Wars.
Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings as like the setup. Are you really going to say you watch every single movie of every single one and know all the like lore, the fantasy, all that kind of shit?
Not everything, but most stuff in Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Harry Potter is a little more iffy for that. I didn't get into that until later.
Okay. Because I definitely like, I but committed to Star Wars early on in my childhood and yeah. I just became a ride or die. And now like,
I was a big Indiana Jones fan.
I fucks with that.
Then Star Wars, then yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Dude, Indy is tight, dude.
Indy's tight. Well, okay, let's talk about casting a little more, too.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna... So, Robin Williams in this movie. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
In terms of casting and the role, let's talk about kind of the role more than the casting here. I guess I did preface it slightly wrong. But the role in this movie is, from my interpretation, a movies that I normally... see Robin Williams in are usually more roles that are a lot heavier on the like comedy part.
I was gonna say goofiness.
Mm-hmm. Not saying that this role or his character in this movie isn't funny, because there's plenty of funny stuff that this movie does, but it's a lot more serious though.
Yeah,
like it feels like he's using humor as a tool instead of just being humorous to get through to the kids and make them like actually interested in stuff.
See, I think just to draw like an example that really emphasizes that throughout this movie is the Shakespeare scene where Robin Williams is like transitioning to the class of like, oh, we're going to go and cover Shakespeare. And everybody's like, ugh. It's like, I know. But have you've probably always heard it talking like this and Lady Macbeth. And then he's like, but what about like Brando doing it? And he starts doing his impersonations, yeah. like talking Shakespeare lines in different voices and making it comical. It's like,
yeah.
that's the kind of stuff where Robin Williams shines. And like, obviously the only other movie that like immediately comes to my head where he's kind of playing a similar thing would be Good Will Hunting. Mm-hmm. But even then that's far more serious.
Yeah.
He's way more serious in that than he is in Dead Poets.
Yeah, exactly. Where I was getting with that is like a lot of his other major roles that people know him from are stuff like Mrs. Doubtfire, which is not really serious much at all. It's mostly for the joke.
I actually watched Hook the other day and he's fucking awesome in that. But it's like, you know,
like Jumanji. Jumanji is not really a very serious movie, but it's all about the humor or whatever. And I think his performances in like those roles where he's just doing straight humor were always like fantastic. But I actually really enjoyed watching him in these more serious roles, like Dead Poet Society, Good Will Hunting, where there's like a little more to it.
Yeah.
And obviously he's going to have great humor strokes in it, but I think he always nailed the performances of those like more serious roles. Like he felt like a real person.
Well, that's kind of like the, you know, like the old adage of like, usually comedians are really smart and witty and quick with it, but they're also very like depressed people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it kind of shows that dichotomy, I guess, where it's like 90% of the movie, he's like his serious, normal self, where it's like you're thinking of things, you're pondering the world and like all of those kind of stuff. And then when you get those moments to be funny, you capitalize on it. And I feel like it's like with playing this role, it was probably closer to like how he is on a day to day than he is playing more of like a role in specifically.
Definitely. I have a question for you if you're ready to move on from that point.
I like questions.
How do you feel that the story and its characters kind of resonates with you?
I mean, kind of like the boarding school vibe resonates a little bit because mm-hmm. like growing up playing hockey, we would always be on like road trips or whatever. So we kind of have like the same dorm feel where it's like you and a teammate, you're in your own room, but all the boys kind of get together in the hallways or bounce between rooms. And
yeah,
that
you kind of feel that.
I definitely resonated with that. And it's like, I mean, partially resonated with Todd actually, because it was like, for the longest time in school, I was always just like, oh, I don't know if this is the right answer. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and like not speak up. And then like
the quiet one that didn't want to answer for
fear of being wrong and looking stupid and like those kind of things. And then like eventually I just kind of like had my stand on the desk, go captain, my captain moment where it's like, why am I sweating this kind of shit? Like, it doesn't matter. As long as I answer the question, it's like helping me get better, you know?
Totally. Totally.
What about you, dude? Who and or what like resonated with you?
I would say the story is about self-discovery, right? Like kind of figuring out who you are and understanding it's okay to be who you are. Like you don't have to try to fit in just because that's what the pressure is telling you. Boarding school is a great example of that. You're with these people all the time. You really need to feel like you fit in probably, right? There's a lot of that pressure.
For sure.
It's not just like, okay, I just need to like get through school and I can go home and do whatever. It's like you're there the whole time.
That's also what's weird though is, sorry to kind of like jump in.
But, you're good.
Like even with the boarding school vibe, like what you were saying, they're always with each other and they're like going to school together. They're experiencing like basically their whole lives together.
Yeah, for the school year.
Yeah, but it's like they get to see each other at all the highs, all the lows, all the weird moments, everything like that. So it's like, that group of boys definitely like no one wants to branch too far or stick too much out, but it's also like they all know each other and know their like backgrounds well enough to feel like it's more accepting, I guess. Cause it's like, think about when that girl comes to their school to pick up Knox, like right before the play. Like think about that. If that was you with your crew in high school and like the chick you're talking to, like rolls up and all the boys are sitting there and they're like, one of your boys wouldn't just be like, oh guys, let's give him some space. All your boys would be in the background going, oh, he's talking to some chick, like giving you crap for it, you know?
Yeah. Are you saying you resonate with that a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's definitely happened for sure in like the middle school, high school years, dude. Yeah. For sure.
But the story is about self-discovery, and what I was thinking about and what I was trying to like say before I was rudely interrupted by a very I wasn't an English major or didn't think about doing English like Todd. You made a very valid point of what you're saying, but what I was trying to say was the story, albeit maybe not everybody will be able to resonate with the things that you can, like the boarding school kind of vibes and those feelings of being in dorms across from your friends and stuff. But I feel like a lot of people can resonate with this movie in the like most general manner of it's about that self-discovery, and eventually everybody kind of has to do that.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to figure out really who they are and who they want to be. I mean, I guess not everybody has to, but everybody should, right? Otherwise, you're just going to be going through life and realizing that it's not what you really want to do. And I would say I kind of resonated with that in high school a little bit. Was I always thought I was going to do like engineering or something because that was I was pretty good at math. I was pretty good at like that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then I realized I don't want to do that. That sucks. Like, who wants to go sit and take notes all day?
Yeah, dude.
Who wants to do math all day? I just want to build stuff. I just want to do stuff. That's kind of where it got me to film.
Yeah.
It was building stories, telling stories.
Oh.
Like actually just doing was kind of one of the reasons why I fell into film a little bit.
I get that.
I always like the stories and the stuff. You could tell.
I mean, me too, but it's also like I like getting to work with my hands as well.
Yeah. Like, I like doing like woodworking and stuff, and I don't like drawing out my plans beforehand. And that's all engineering is, in case anybody didn't know, is you have to think it all through before you do it. Rightfully so, because there is stuff that could really hurt people. But I always liked the I just want to do.
Yeah.
And that was always a little more like photography, filmmaking. Like, you just kind of go out and do it. Obviously, there's a lot more to think about and talk about and prepare for. It's different, okay?
It's different.
Stop.
It's
my not thought the same. Makes sense to me. Maybe not everybody else.
Well,
but
before before you went on this little justifying tangent after what you were saying.
What I was saying is everybody has to discover themselves.
I know. And all I was going to say to that was actually a compliment to you if you just let me get it off.
Yeah, no.
It was really deep and insightful, and it was actually something really well spoken that I wasn't expecting to come from you.
See, there's a dichotomy.
A two-part compliment.
There's a backhanded compliment is what you're looking for.
Yep.
There's an interesting dichotomy to me. It's either a really stupid joke or actually a profoundly meaningful or serious statement of some kind of major insightful moment.
And it ties into the movie very well because that's the kind of dichotomy that the movie has, where it's like, dude, there's so many deep quotes and like.
So you're saying I should have played Keating?
No, you definitely should have been in the society, though.
That's fair.
I could see you in the society.
I'd like it. I don't know much about poetry. I will say, like, in college, I beforehand was not ever a big fan of, like, theater. I didn't, like, hate it. Didn't mind it. It's kind of cool. It was like, whatever. I never really went out and seek anything about it. But part of this understanding things from an outside perspective, which is kind of what Keating's trying to show everybody, was as part of my degree, I had to take classes on other fine arts.
Right.
And one of those ones that I chose as like an elective was theater. And I learned a lot about old theater stuff, like Japanese theater at the very beginning of like their kind of stuff where I forget what it was called exactly because I haven't done that in years, but it was that kind of stuff. Then Roman theater and then all kinds of like stuff. It was very general. We didn't go into a whole lot of detail, but we had to go watch some of Baylor's productions from their theater department.
Okay.
And they were actually really fascinating, really fun to watch and a great time. And it just gave me a better understanding and a better like respect for those kinds of things is the someone making me look at it from a different perspective and someone like not really forcing me to, but like inviting to be like, hey, it's actually not like bad. Come check it out.
Yeah.
And I actually gained a lot of like respect for that kind of stuff. And I actually would say I enjoy watching plays now as before I would say, I wouldn't go do that. But if you're like, hey, you know, the off Broadway shows that are down here in Fort Worth, hey, let's go check that out. I'd be like, oh, sick. Yeah. So kind of that self-discovery, that whole journey of like understanding topics that may not be ones that you really care about, you can have interest in. Like you don't have to define yourself on just one thing, right? Like you don't have to define yourself on just being a hockey player kind of deal.
That's facts.
I didn't have to do it with water polo. I mean, I kind of did.
I mean, I did the same thing.
Because it was part of that self-discovery journey is I didn't realize that there was more.
What up, dude? Me and the boys are going down to the lake. We're going to pop some upper decky lip pillies and just go have a day. Furta, dude.
Oh, my God.
I hate myself for doing that, but that's very much that what life was like in the hockey world back then.
Yeah, see, so like that kind of stuff. This movie shows these characters having this journey where they thought it was just kind of one thing for them, and then they discovered other stuff.
Well, that was like part of what's so great about like Professor or Mr. Keating or whatever is it's like, why do we read and write poetry? We read and write poetry to woo women. And like,
exactly.
He knows his audience. He knows who he's talking to. And he's like,
yeah,
you guys are all studying to become lawyers, doctors, whatever. And we could very much work our way through the Pritchard textbook and, you know, learn your syntax, learn your meter and rhyme and move on your merry way, staying in your own lanes. But like, do you guys want to become people? Do you guys want to be like free thinkers? Do you guys want to know how to woo women? Like, further your skills, expand your repertoire. And like that goes beyond the movie of like, I mean, even anyone who works here at 12 Midnight, like no one's a single disciplinary person, like how they work or how they act. Everybody's
except
able to
Todd. Todd is only a producer and doesn't do anything else ever. Never has done anything other than that.
Yeah, that's facts. Actually,
that's a lie.
I have no other
things. He edits a podcast. You take on far many more roles than just producer.
Apparently. Apparently, yeah.
He's an AP, an associate producer, but are you still associate producer?
Yeah, I am.
He's an AP, but also a PA sometimes.
Yeah, I like to call that.
He's the APPA.
I like to call that APA, and then APA. I go, yep. for any of my Avatar fans out there.
That's great. I like that. I like that. Yip, yip.
Yip, yip.
Yip, yip.
That's good. Yeah, we're low on crew this time. Oh, yip, I can just oppa it. Yip, yip.
Yip, yip. Yip, yip. That's great. I like that. I like that.
You know, everybody pitches
it. That's funny. That's good.
Everybody help everybody.
But, all right.
What?
Sorry. Did you have something to say? I was going to hop onto a new topic.
But. Well, I kind of wanted to get into like some of the quotes from this movie.
Send it.
Because I do think they're freaking great. And a lot of
it's a movie about poetry, right?
It's a movie about
poetry. There's got to be some good quotes in there.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, this is a bit of the poetry nerd in me, but it's like everybody always has such like a negative expectation for poetry a lot of the time. And it's like,
really? Maybe I just have a better understanding than fine arts of the average person because I've taken, you know, those theater classes.
Well, I feel like it's like, you know how I use the term fart sniffer all the time?
No.
Really?
No.
Have I not said that around you?
I might not have just noticed it.
You know, like the vibe that people give where it's like they feel like they're going to cup their own fart and sniff it. Like they're so full of themselves.
Got it. Okay.
It's kind of like poetry always used to give off that kind of fart sniffery vibe.
Got it.
And it's like.
See, that's maybe regional for you growing up on that with that saying. I'm not sure where you got
that. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. California boy. Are you guys better than us Texans?
So
answer that right now because.
Are you calling me a fart sniffer? I was gonna say I would use the term similar to that, but it'd be like people think their shit doesn't stink.
Yeah, that's
like it's a little pompous.
Yeah, pompous is like a really good word for it. But I wanted to like flex my like you know
it's fair
knowledge of language.
I would say I think pompous would be a better word for that than fart sniffer.
Whatever, dude. But, if he can use sweaty tooth madman, I can go a fart sniffing pompous ass.
That's
actually,
fair.
That's a fucking line
guess,
of poetry right
I
there.
I guess I'm being a fucking fart sniffer for saying that.
Nah, you're just being a sweaty tooth madman for trying to counter.
Sweaty tooth madman. What does that even mean? I know it's in the movie, but what does that mean? Can you dissect that for me? You were an English major for a time.
I know, but it's literally short. Just descriptions. Like, that's what I was kind of leading into.
So is it like sweaty, comma, tooth man? Or is it a sweaty tooth, comma, man?
Sweaty tooth, comma, man would probably be
what
the
does that mean?
Correct.
What does a sweaty tooth man like? What is sweaty teeth mean?
Like, you're
does that mean you just have a lot of saliva, mean your teeth are sweating because teeth can't sweat? So, what does that mean, Todd? Would you explain it? What does it mean?
Does it create an image in your head though, or does it get your head thinking or spinning or trying to picture that like right off
the
bat?
You know, when you try
it's such an attention grabbing thing,
sure.
That's kind of what I was going to lead into earlier before we tangented on fart sniffer was the fact that like poetry can fucking do and be whatever. Like
exactly.
It doesn't have to be anything. And like what they were saying when they responded to like the cat sat on the mat.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, poetry can be anything. Just don't make it boring.
Exactly.
And, like, that's a really good takeaway.
That's fair. That's fair. Going back to what you tried asking me was what image does that put in my mind? I think more logically a little bit. I'm a little more logical thinker, right? So when I think of when somebody says a descriptor to me, I try to understand what that means first before like an image pops in my head. Not always. Sometimes something will be just striking enough that it's kind of like, oh, wow. But that one, when I tried thinking about it, you know when you're on Premiere and then you try to access a file that you've moved the location of and it doesn't have the connection to it and it goes like
file path not found?
Yeah. That's the image that was in my head, basically, is like, what does sweaty tooth man mean?
File path not found.
File path not found. There's no image for that. What does that mean?
Oh, dude.
It doesn't exist. What does that mean?
Oh, that's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I got you.
That was in my head. I was like, what does that mean?
See, but like, dude, even in that little moment right there, like, you could make that into a poem of
sure,
like.
Sure.
You're talking and you're just writing in straight up prose and then you're just like
file path not found.
You freaking yeah, you stanchion down and you're like error 404 path not found.
The thing for me
and that's how you end the poem.
Yeah. But you just see what I'm saying is like that what you're saying is poetry doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah.
It just has to not be boring.
Yeah, like
and that's a really interesting idea that I feel like this movie brings up in kind of. Although this movie, I don't think is trying to teach you about poetry. I think it does a good job at doing that at times.
I think it's telling you how to live through poetry. Because, like, think about how they open up, like, the Dead Poets meetings. And it's the Thoreau poem of, I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to put to root all that was not life, and not, when I had come to die, discovered that I had not lived. Like, fucking carpe diem and that. Those are like your two biggest keyways. That's like, basically it's all just saying, go out and live life, go enjoy it, like have fun in like the small moments, and just don't let, like, don't settle for mediocrity, and like, don't let anyone dictate how you're going to live your life. You have to go out and seize your own day and make your life into what it wants to be. It's not like a great life is just going to be handed to you. And I think that's also part of the message, especially with them being like all those boarding school people. And what Keating was like really trying to get across is like, hey, just because you got this all set up for you and fucking nepotism and shit doesn't mean you're going to be happy or you're going to be stoked.
His whole argument is, just because this is a stepping stone that's already in place for you, don't waste it, kind of deal.
Yeah, that's a way better way to put it.
Talking about seizing the day, I am extremely lazy sometimes. Dude, and it'll be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be like, I did nothing today, I did not seize the day. That was unrelated to this movie, but that's just, when I said that, that's what I thought of.
No, I'm kind of with that, because it's like, it's really hard for me to, like, once I get home, to go out and do just about anything. Like, when I get home, I'm like, man, I'm home now, I just want to chill. But once I'm away from my home, I will stay out for the entire, like, that's my thing.
Like, you're really productive when you're doing stuff, and then as soon as you get home and then, like, take a break, it's over.
Oh, but even then, it's like, in terms of like carpe diem and seize the day, it's like, if I finish up work and someone's like, oh, you want to go do this? I'm like, yeah.
Like, if I am, like, have a day where I'm doing stuff and I need to get
stuff
done.
You're talking about seizing the day by being productive.
Yes.
I don't,
it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that. But I was going to say is, when I need to be productive and I have a day of doing productive stuff, I will be very productive that day. Like, the whole day, very productive. But if I have a day where it's like half and half, it's not good.
Okay.
It's real bad. That's the ADD, I think.
Yeah. Because I thought you were about to say that, like, to you, carpe diem is like really only being like productive or getting stuff done.
No, I think it's a great way to motivate yourself to do that, is like, carpe diem, I need to seize the day and be productive. But I don't think it has to be. I think it could be, I think this movie describes it in a different way.
Yeah. I think it's like a good mix of like, you know, doing everything you can to build upon it. And like, Dylan, he's always said, like, each day I want to get 1% better. And it's kind of like, part of seizing the day is doing that, you know, getting yourself.
I definitely have days where there's no percentage change in that.
Yeah, I get that, though. Like, honestly.
Yeah, that was like a yesterday for me. I was just like,
well, now that football's back, and I don't know when this is releasing, so just a FYI to all of you guys, football, like, just started.
Yeah,
so
the 2024 season. When is that really?
But no, football's back now, so it's like, now my Saturdays and Sundays are just consumed by sitting on the couch watching football, and if I get something done while I'm doing it, I'm like, damn, I gotta watch what I wanted, and I did stuff. I'm hella productive today, dude.
That's sick, dog.
Let's talk about
the soccer thing.
Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength, bro. Seize the day, bro. Carpe diem, bro.
Dude, seize the day, brother. But no, back to the soccer scene.
Football.
Fucking cool little moment. Like, also, I would have loved to be in Keating's class, because he takes you outside of the classroom all the time, and that's like where I struggle the most, is staying like focused in a
room. You would have loved Keating's class.
I would have loved Keating's class.
Yeah. The, like, English part, the poetry stuff, the not sitting in class all day stuff.
Dude, ripping up my fucking textbook, dude. Oh, I would have been so stoked that day. Are you kidding?
That would have been sick.
Like,
Now
I just
want to
rip shit up.
That callback scene where the headmaster comes in and he's like, turn to page whatever. He's like, that page is ripped out.
Dude, and I
love
how
take someone else's book. And he's like,
I love how the rat was trying to like still give like a little justification of like, oh, we bounced around a lot. I was like, shut up, you freaking rat.
Yeah. Like, you got us here.
You got us to this point. You're the rat, dude. Shut your mouth. Yeah, go put your nose up.
Nobody likes you, Cameron. If you're named Cameron, I'm sorry. Nobody likes you, Cameron, in this movie. I hope that's his name. Otherwise, I'm just going to sound like,
it's fine.
Cameron.
I think it's fine. But either way, like,
you know,
nah, dude, ripping up. I would have loved Keating's class. Like, it would have been an absolute hoot. But that soccer ball scene, I love how, like, it's kind of just like meh for all of it until you get to Nwanda, who's like the last person to run up and like yell whatever. And he's like, it was something about being a god. like everybody's like kind of like reading their poem like half-heartedly, and then he's like, oh dude, it was like, I have the power of being a god or something like that, and then he kicks the ball and then the scene changes, and I was like, dude, of course Nwanda would get that poem when they're all handed out. I was like, dude, that's just such a fitting one for his character. Because I also feel like a lot of this movie was like really deliberate with like how they set it up, who talks when, what some of the side actions are going on, and like what's going on in the background is all like really deliberately done.
Yeah. Did you grade the film for me, or did I grade the film for myself?
You graded the film for yourself.
I do not remember doing that. So I was like, did you do that? Did you tell me a grade to give?
Dude, honestly, you should have watched the movie before.
I should have?
Yeah.
I did watch the movie.
When?
I watched the movie originally.
Well, yeah, I know we both watched the movie.
Yeah, I didn't have time this week. It was rough. But I got my notes. I just forgot what I put on the notes. Let's be honest. We don't really use these too much.
No,
actually.
Not really.
We don't use them too much. It's helpful. It's nice to have it if we need it, but we end up just talking. It's a good moment. That was good. I like that. Mm-hmm. That was good.
We don't need notes.
You still have a couple more pages.
Yeah, but those actually have notes I wanted to use. It was a symbolic moment. Damn it, Dom.
That's good. I like it.
And for those of you who are only listening to audio, I just ripped up some papers. that was the bit.
Here, I got it. Here, ready? It's already cracked enough. I don't need to break my phone.
Yeah, don't break your phone, dude. That was...
For those who are just listening, I tried ripping my phone. Didn't work. All right, okay. Particular performances.
If we're talking about a single moment of a performance, it's right after Neil's death, and Mr. Keating's walking through the empty classroom, goes to Neil's desk, pops it open, sees the Dead Poet's book.
Mm-hmm.
Opens it up to the first line, and you can see the camera's just hanging on that last line of the Thoreau poem of, like, and to discover that I had not truly lived, and he just starts fucking weeping, dude. Like, that was such, like, that was the most heartfelt moment of the entire movie, in my opinion, besides, like, the ending. The ending is just one of those of, like, you're sitting there, and you're, like, proud of Todd, and you're like, fuck yeah, dude, this is sick, but you're also just like, I love you, Mr. Keating. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Like, the ending really resonates, but... I will say that moment where Robin Williams is just like breaking down and like gives the big ass sob and then like kind of covers his face a little bit. It was super touching.
I'll say the moment that kind of hit me for like, it's not quite the end, but it's getting towards there was the when they're all just running out in the snow.
Oh yeah.
When they find out that that Neil died.
That was a good moment.
I was like, damn, this just like. What does Todd do here? Todd just running out into the snow.
I love how he doesn't start crying until he like fucking straight up vomits. He's like, so like upset that it physically like churns his stomach, and he's like, and he just starts bawling.
Yep.
It was a touching moment, but also another good moment with Todd. And Ethan Hawke is awesome, dude. Fantastic. He's a great actor, and I'm glad he had a great career. Also, the dude who starts dating the girl from public school. I can never remember his name. He's gone on to have such a massive career. It's like
Knox,
John
Knox, but his actor.
Yeah, Knox. The actor dude, his name is really basic. It's like John Chad or something like that.
John Stamos.
But he's gone off to have like a massive career. But also he always plays like some prep school or like business or financial.
He's kind of got that look to him.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's made the most of it. But either way, Ethan Hawke is great. And one of the other moments that like really was a good impactful moment was the death station. Getting the same one for his birthday that he got the year before.
That was simultaneously like really funny, but also like really like serious moment kinda.
Yeah, and it's like also Neil's character coming in and he's like, oh, it feels like it wants to fly. I'm like, that was like the right way to do that.
It showed the interesting dynamic between Todd's parents not really paying attention to him and Neil's parents paying too much attention to him.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like, it shows the difference in like personalities of like parenting styles.
Yeah, and how neither of those in this situation were like...
Good.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
They were both like, for those characters, I'm not saying every situation like that's going to be bad, but I'm saying like in this like... depiction of it, both of those are like
not ideal.
Yeah, they reacted in very different ways pressures, very different pressures, and they both had problems with it. It makes sense. Like Todd was trying to struggle, fit in, and actually know what he wanted to do. He was trying to figure out like his self-discovery through trying to fit in and figure out who he is because he was trying to be someone else. While Neil was already fitting in, not realizing that that's not what he really wanted to be.
Right.
So it's kind of like they were both trying to do the same thing from different places. And those pressures were kind of from, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was just an interesting performance, seeing a very similar character arc from different places ending at different, like kind of coming together, I guess, because they're both trying to figure out who they are. If that's what we're saying the arc is, right? So Neil's fit in. He's the golden boy. Everybody likes him. He's smart. He's going to go be a, I don't think he's a doctor. He was going to be a doctor.
Going to be a doctor.
And then he realizes, and then he has the discovery of this is not what I want to do. And he wants to do something else. And he realizes what he wants to do.
Well, I think early on, it's already not what he wants to do going in at the start of the school year. Because his dad's making him quit the being the editor of the paper, which was apparently his previous, you know, hobby.
It's him discovering that.
It seems like he wanted an outlet for creativity, and his family was like, you're not going to get to be a doctor if you're creative, which is also so freaking dumb. And actually, that leads into a really interesting point is...
Should doctors be creative?
No.
No.
Do not get creative in my surgery, please.
Hey, what if I cut this one instead?
But no, at the premiere of the movie, Kurtwood Smith, the dude who played Neil's dad, he was at the premiere and he sees like a family and the dad's being like super overbearing, like his character was in the movie.
In real life.
He sees his dad being like super overbearing to his son, yada, yada. Movie goes, has the premiere. As they're walking out of the theater, Kurtwood Smith sees that same family leaving and the dad's just sitting there bawling his eyes out. And it was like
realization kind of.
Yeah, it was like we kind of did something good here. And that's it is true. It's like it's a good fucking all around movie for everybody to watch. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those that nails the message and it can have multiple meanings based off who's watching.
And I think the biggest message in the entire movie is about Cameron. Don't be a little rat bitch.
Yeah, don't be a little rat bitch. No one likes that.
Yeah.
If anybody ever watched The Sopranos, I think you kind of know that rule.
Yeah. It's facts.
Yeah, dude.
Don't rat. That scene in Sopranos is pretty intense. But kind of going on with what you're saying, like he realized that this movie kind of really mattered and it like made a difference or can make a difference is in kind of the joke about like Cameron ratting and whatever, don't be a rat. But there's like no, because there, this movie has a bunch of different little plots and a bunch of different little things of how people change with their characters, their character arcs and stuff. And there's no like character in the movie I can really think of that kind of is like, oh wow, that person didn't really learn anything or change much at all. You know what
Wrong.
I mean? Wrong. Who didn't? The headmaster?
No, the cat on the mat. Dude, I mean, he doesn't learn or grow or anything. I mean, he is a
Who's
side
that?
Character.
The cat, the general jock guy.
Yeah, but also he's not a jock because when they do the fucking scene outside with the soccer ball, he half-heartedly kicks it. And it's like, if he was the jock, he would have gone in balls to the wall and he would have hit a laser.
And his character never changes?
Well, there's not really like a change in who he is as a character, but there is that one change of at the end, he's one of the group that stands up on the desk.
Yeah.
It's not
I think his character was always like, I don't care. I'm not going to do whatever. I'm not going to care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I think in the end he realizes,
change.
Shit.
Yeah.
It does matter.
Okay.
That's his change. See what I'm saying?
I see.
Because before at the very beginning, he didn't care when they did the captain, my captain or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it the scene with the ghosts and Mr. Keating was like joking and like
carpe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carpe deal.
Was it that scene or was it a different one? Basically his character is like, I'm not going to pay attention to this shit. I'm not going to try. Mm. Or it was also the poem one, I guess.
It was the poem
and
one.
And he didn't want to join in on the stuff. And then in the very end, he joins in on standing up.
Well, I guess it's also like kind of like also showing like the impact of what a good teacher can have on someone. And that's actually segues into what I was just about to bring up.
Perfect.
the reason why Robin Williams took the role of John Keating, more than anything else, he just wanted to play the role of the teacher that he always wanted.
Oh, interesting.
So basically, he accepted the role because he wanted to create an example of like a teacher that really would have helped someone like him in school when he was coming or growing up.
Wow.
It's super
interesting
and like kind of impactful. Yeah.
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
Carpe diem.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me, Todd.
Yeah, Dom.
What makes this an influential or important movie to you?
I mean, I think it's definitely like an influential movie because, like you said, it's like a journey of self-discovery. And I think no matter who you are coming to watch this, you can definitely take something away and come out with like a different mindset. But it's also fun enough and so quotable that when you do leave it, you kind of have like a different outlook on life, at least for the next couple of days. It's not like it's going to be so impactful it hangs with you the rest of your life, but it's going to affect like your next couple of days going forward.
It's also a sad movie while not being the most sad movie. Like,
yeah,
like it's very, the ending is very sad, but at the same time, like it's not one of those movies that you're going to be like, I want to watch because I want to see a sad movie. At least for me, it's more like I want to see a really good movie that has like a impactful story more like, than like I want to watch a sad movie kind of deal.
You know what I would say gives off a similar vibe to what you were just saying? Rudy.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like a really inspirational and impactful movie, but it has super depressive overtones throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, like this movie, not Rudy, but this movie.
Yeah, Dead Poets.
Dead Poets has a... like a seriously sad ending that you like, that's going to make you sad watching it. But at the same time, you don't like, it doesn't make you feel bad, sad. Like, I don't like,
I get that, but it's also, I think they lean into that a lot, even in like the production design, because if you,
it's kind of drab.
Is there ever a sunny day?
Yeah. It's always drab. It's always overcast. It's always a little like, I don't know. I just think the movie has a very somber understanding of sadness. It's very...
it's like beautifully sad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the sad part about the movie is not beautiful. It's like depressing. But like, I think the understanding of what it's telling you is the beautiful part, right? Like the carpe diem, seize the day, understand who you are, find
like the
out
message
who you
is
are.
Uplifting and beautiful, but like the overall arc is
it's
somewhat,
I think,
depressive.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's the fact that you watch the movie every time, and if you've seen it before, you know what's going to happen, but every time you watch the movie, it almost feels like there's opportunity for something to change.
Even though
the movie literally will never change, it always feels like there is a moment where it could change.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on your side with this. And it's like, once you have seen it, you know, multiple times and you come back and you're watching it again,
it feels
foreshadow.
Like, yeah,
they foreshadow like throughout it. And it's like every time one of those moments of foreshadowing comes up, you're just like, that I think is what you mean by like the moments where it could like just change. And I always think it's where they do the little foreshadowing of just someone says something or someone interjects with something different at those moments.
To me, it almost feels like the movie ends when Neil dies, but there's still like 20 minutes after that of like cleanup almost.
Yeah.
Of like characters kind of like processing,
acceptance.
Dealing with. And like the movie itself doesn't really like, when Neil dies, almost all of the like the growth that those characters are having like ends there almost. Like, what is the movie's actual ending? The movie's actual ending is kind of like nothing.
But it's great.
Yeah, but it's great.
It's a like, great ending for like, what it is. I think that last bit is everybody like accepting and putting into practice everything that Keating taught them.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, captain, my captain, you might be going, but your teachings are still implemented.
It feels like the movie ends before it does. And then you're just seeing the aftermath of the movie.
I think that's part of what ties in the whole movie is the fact that now Neil is a dead poet.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's also why Keating like tears up when he's like opening that book again, because he's like, he is a member, but he's also now one of the dead poets that like lives in this book.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like a, it's an interesting way. It's a very interesting plot point for that to happen. And then the movie almost fundamentally changes when that happens. Mm-hmm. Because Keaton's gone, the Dead Poets no longer meet.
Well, I think it ultimately falls under that, like, literally the most basic and fundamental story arc that gets taught in school of, like, establishing rising action, mm-hmm. climax, falling action, resolution is literally yeah. like how that wraps up.
Yeah.
Which is,
it's like, just like, you know what it is? It's the end is just not
fulfilling
or wrapped up kind of.
Yeah. I get
you know, a lot of movies are like, well, wrap up the end. Totally. Put a bow on it. And you're like, damn, I wish I saw more after it. Mm-hmm. This movie's end is so unfulfilling slash un like wrapped up or polished kind of to where it's like it felt like the movie ended before that mm-hmm. and it was just kind of going yeah. but then there's other movies that have a similar kind of unpolished, unwrapped up, unperfectly bowed ending. It's like I feel totally empty and like what just happened.
Yeah, you feel gutted because you're just like,
you're like, the movie didn't actually end. This movie felt like it ended, just not
the way you want. Maybe
I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but there's a feeling to it.
Dude, okay, but fucking that ties into it so well because yeah. that's what poetry is trying to do, is create yeah. a feeling.
Yeah, it doesn't have to make sense. It just doesn't have to. It just don't be boring.
Just don't be boring. Just
don't be boring.
And the movie is definitely not boring, dude.
The movie is a slow burner.
But it keeps you engaged.
But it's not a boring movie.
Yeah, it keeps you there. And I will say, I love those movies. I love movies like this to where it is engaging and it's not mm-hmm. super rapid, super quick. And yeah. you're going to miss something if you take your eyes off the screen for 5 minutes. But it's also like those kind of slow burn, thoughtful, well-developed movies mm-hmm. are always super fun. Like Shawshank. Shawshank is a great movie, and it's kind of in the same lane. Good Will Hunting.
There's like no wasted scenes, kind of.
Yes, everything is just like there with an actual purpose and intention.
I feel like I could be wrong, and this could be a misremember, like me misremembering parts of the movie. But I feel like there's not a lot of shot. They have a lot of shots that like linger. They're like long shots.
Like
not like long oneers, but like
long, no, I know what you
longer
mean.
Longer takes.
Yeah, like
they're like.
When they're
10
in their,
seconds long, not 5 seconds long.
Like anytime they're going out into the woods, it's always like the camera is static, but you mm-hmm. see them.
They're long. They're just longer takes.
Yeah.
The camera moves slower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really fits the vibe of the movie very well.
Well, I also feel
and
like
that's part of those things is we have not done a great job of talking about techniques
on this one.
On this
but also
one.
I feel like them shooting in like that kind of like school or whatever. Yeah.
It fits that feeling.
It fits that feeling because it's so compact that like practically mm-hmm. they probably didn't have enough space to be able to do a lot of those moves because I don't think this is a fabricated set. I think this is literally a location because the hallway of the dorms, I swear I've seen it in like three or four other things. Like I think it was in Mighty Ducks.
Maybe.
I kid you not.
Maybe.
But it's like the location itself feels like it's from other things. So it might be a back lot somewhere.
Was it in Tommy Boy?
No, I wouldn't have. There was never like a.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I think it was in Mighty Ducks, though.
It's not a very high intensity place. Although it's very high stress and like there's a lot of pressure on the students, it's very like. Life moves kind of slow there a little bit.
Yeah, I can see you know? That. Yeah, because it's like even when they're doing the. Everybody's doing their like outdoor rec activities or like their PE thing or whatever. It's like you see all
it's
the different groups.
It's very quaint.
Yeah, it's very like
that's
nonchalant.
That's the word I was looking for. It's very quaint.
That's nice. That's well said.
You know? And I feel like the camera just lingers on shots. Like the courtyard or the little courtyard when they're doing the walking thing, I feel like the camera only cuts a couple of times to Keating. Like it's a lot of the. For the most part, it's a wide.
That, yeah, wide.
It's a wide just watching them actually do that stuff for like, not like a whole
well,
one.
No, the reason
scene
why they're doing
take,
that wide overhead though is
because
it's the Dean point of view or whatever. To your point of some of the technical aspects of the film, I thought the soundtrack is like really nonchalant. Like it's not super prevalent. It's not over the top or like crazily done.
I think it's the whole theme, the whole feeling of this whole movie. It's just very. subtle.
Yeah, like I didn't even notice any form of music or soundtrack until that final scene.
Low energy.
Yeah.
Low tempo.
Well, even then it opens up with natural sound. Like the initial mm-hmm. scene is all just nat sound. There's no music or sound effects or anything really going on.
It's a very entertaining movie.
I know, but it's so like simplistically made that it's like I don't know why that, like, yes, really crazy technical or super advanced filmmaking is really cool and interesting to see.
But it doesn't
always have
to
be. From a storytelling technique or a storytelling point of view, it's like these kind of movies get my juices going where I'm like, that's sick.
You need to match the feeling of the movie with the visuals that you're giving the movie.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's kind of like the simplistic, like, you don't need to go way over the top to tell a really good story. And mm-hmm. I think this is a good example of that.
That's fair.
Since we don't have a guest to tell us how we're rating this movie, how do you want to rate it?
Out of seizes the days. If you have 10 carpe diems out of 10, how many days are you seizing?
I'm like trying to like process that.
Is
like,
is this the file
path not found?
File path not found. Yeah.
Dude, no. Honestly, if you're going about it, like, I feel like this movie is one of those that like definitely gives you that feeling after you finish it to where it's like you do need to go and seize the day. So I'm going to say it's like a good like 8.5 to damn near 9 carpes.
I would say pretty similar. I think I would go with like a... an 8.9 carpes.
Eight nine carpes? Yeah,
maybe 8.5, 8.9, around there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's solid, it's well done. I'd put this up there in the like upper echelon of like movie making in the sense of like, I don't know, I feel like everybody kind of has their own like rule book for how like tiers of movies are. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you got your like cream of the crop, these are going to get submitted for the Oscars. Then you got like, oh, these are your crowd pleasers, your blockbusters. And then you got like, it's good movie, solid movie, indie movie, you know? But I think this is that.
So indie movies are less than solid movies, is what you're saying?
No, I think indie movies are just on its own category. I wouldn't put them above or below anything. They're just different. Because if you're talking like high scale feature money versus like indie money, it's like you can make like, a really I good feel indie like
you
movie
lost,
with.
I feel like you lost me a little bit here, but yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to try to explain it, no, I guess.
I'm a little lost, I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm saying, like, there's, like, tiers for movies, right?
Yeah.
And it's, like, tiers or categories. And if you're talking, like, straight-up features, that's what I'm saying is those. But then you get, like, your documentaries or your indie movies. Those are, like, a whole other category because it kind of...
Do the indie movies not fit with the other features normally?
No, because they don't have as much backing or as much, like, funding or, you know... Do you get
so,
what I'm
so
saying?
You're kind of, you're
it's
you're
like
grading
a different...
the story based on its, like... budget or something? Is that what it kind of feels like? That's what, I don't know, maybe I'm just missing what you're trying to say.
Like, okay, take like a Happy Madison movie.
Sure.
Where, like, if you were to put it in like a tier of movie, where would it be?
I don't know.
See, this is kind of what I'm saying, is like, think of like Sound of Metal. Sound of Metal I wouldn't put in the same list as like Goodwill
Hunting,
Happy Madison.
You're saying it's hard to compare those ones.
Yeah.
So it's hard to compare like,
it's hard to compare an indie movie because it's a different group of people that are going to make it, whereas like a feature film, it's always like union people or like people who are genuinely,
I don't know,
around the block a time or two.
I feel like they're hard to compare for different reasons than what you're bringing out, but that's your own opinion.
Basically, what I'm saying is this movie is in the upper tier. It's not going to be grouped in with like a Happy Madison or like an Avengers type movie. It's going to be grouped with like Shawshank Redemption, Goodwill Hunting, and
yeah,
like
sure, but
those
I don't think
movies.
That has to do where I think where we differ is I don't think that has to do with who made it.
I'm not saying who made it. I'm saying
that's
just the
just
quality
said,
of
the
movie.
Indie. You said
no.
It.
I'm saying dumb. I'm okay, saying like okay. The quality of movie.
Yes.
Obviously, to get a very quality movie, there's different stuff that has to go into it, and I'm just saying that like the indie game is different than like putting it. Indie movies can be great, but they can also be trash or very like low budget looking. And I'm saying there's a whole tier system that you can do for indie movies. I'm talking more like straight to theaters, never going to go like straight to streaming release kind of stuff. And like
okay.
The
I
different
think I
looks.
See what you're saying. I think I see what you're saying. And I'm just going to say this. I feel like that ranking system is kind of flawed, right?
It's definitely flawed, but it's how I like categorize
that's fair.
Styles of movies in my
Got
head.
It.
Like Revenant and like something that's going to be put up for Oscar
like
movies.
Like massive budgets, you're not going to group with the same thing.
Right, but I wouldn't group them in the same categories as like a Gary Sanchez production or a Happy Madison production or like, you know, anything like that. Like they're clearly in different groupings. They're in different ballparks. They're in different leagues.
Got it. Okay. I would categorize them a little differently. Like I think the who made them or how much budget is kind of like instead of not grouping movies for different reasons together.
I'm not grouping them by like budget though.
I think it's more of a handicap system for me. I think it's more of like a your budget wasn't as good.
I see that. I can see that. Yeah.
You would be up here. You know what I mean?
That's a really good way to put it, and I love that.
I feel like I was thinking more like it without the handicap.
No, I was thinking more like English Premier League, where it's like you got Premier, you got Championship, and you got your freaking regulated or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Okay, I'm thinking more of just like how I would normally like rate a movie like that. Like I would take an account that didn't have as much funding, so it couldn't do as like maybe the story is really good, just didn't have enough backing to actually like really nail everything. Say like, oh, okay, the production design got sent to the leeway because they didn't have budget to do that kind of thing. Like I feel like it's more of a handicap system. Like if we're trying to grade each other in golfing, you're a better golfer, but we want to see how we played that day. Oh, maybe I played better than you that day on like the average play.
So no, I like that. That's a really good way to put it.
Now that I understand what you're trying to say, I think you're understanding now where I was like, I wasn't understanding what you were saying. Because
it's kind of like how our brains or our ways of thinking like kind of differ. Is like the way that the categorizing works for me might not be the same as you and vice versa. But now I'm
like,
seeing
like
how
you
do.
Like you're saying like, oh, this movie would be really good. Like this is a really good movie just here because it didn't have the budget to do that.
See, it wasn't It was like basically, the moral of my story is
you're
like...
You're not going to bash a movie for being bad just because it couldn't do something another one could.
Yeah, it's in its own tier. It just shouldn't be compared to that movie. See, it's like, that's why I was going with like Premier League or like soccer, where it's like you get your Championship League, you got your next one down, and then you got the relegateds to where it's like...
Like,
okay,
that team's really good. That D2 team's really good, but I mean, it's not going to fight with a D1 because it doesn't have
I was kind of, that's so kind of the groupings in my head.
My thought was like, oh, that D2 team's really good, but I guess that doesn't really work because it's a little different. But it's like, oh, that is a really good movie. I'm taking into account that it has flaws because of the budget or whatever issues. So I kind of prorate the rating a little bit.
See, I do like the main grouping like that, and then I kind of take in your handicap system to rank them within that grouping.
See,
so
that's
it's like
the
a
thing.
File structure in
See,
my
that's
head.
The thing about this kind of stuff, is it's so hard to like actually rank things for different reasons.
Exactly, because it's
so,
all fluid.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we always ask our guests is how do you want to rank it? Because we might be watching a movie that's really impactful, really entertaining, but someone might not say, oh, it's not like... It's not so funny or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this movie is hella funny, so I'm not going to rate it very high. Well, it's like, how are you going to rank it? Because I don't think you could ever rank every movie. Well, obviously, there's too many. But, like, I don't think you could actually ever compare every movie with every movie because it's just so different.
Well, that's also
It's not as simple as what sport team is the best.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as that. Because there's so many different things to grade it by.
Yeah, and I mean, shit, I had a really good way to, like...
Describe that, and I just ruined it because I interrupted you?
Yeah, kind of. Because, like, like you were saying, like, you could rate it as just being a funny movie, but it's, like, everybody has a different style of humor and that kind of stuff. So that's, like, a really valid point. But...
It's just, like, I see what you're saying. Like, lower budget movies are going to fail on other aspects that a higher budget one would, even though it might be a better movie. That's why you're separating them.
Yeah.
I'm saying like, oh, that one had a massive budget, it's technical aspects. Oh, it was really beautiful, but the movie was just like shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this movie wasn't beautiful, but like the story is really good. So now they kind of like, that one's better because, yeah.
Yeah, so saying. The way it works is like kind of like a blend of our two ways of like.
Got it. Yeah.
Think of it like file structures where yeah. it's like I got my overall grouping of.
There's
like
a lot of overlap
films.
Is what you're saying.
There is a lot of overlap, but it's also like once you get into where you group them to, then you go about that handicap system of yeah. like, oh, this is, you know, might not have had the most like Moonlight. Didn't have a ton of budget, but it fucking kicked the crap out of all the other
and
shit.
And see, that's why I think your grading system fails a little bit.
Yeah.
And where mine succeeds is like, even though that didn't have as much money as an Avengers movie, it was way fucking better than Avengers. You know what I mean?
But it's not like, it's not about like the budget or anything. It's like about the quality of craftsmanship.
It's the quality of the movie.
Like, think about it. If like your English Premier League, like if I'm doing the soccer reference, or let's do American football.
Sure.
You got fucking SEC up at the top, right?
Yeah.
Except this year. Pac-12, baby, we're up there.
Pac-12 getting destroyed, baby.
No, we have the most top 25 teams.
No, I mean
this
like
season.
I mean like it's gone.
Oh, Pac-12's like, gone. Yeah, we're in our farewell season, but we have 8 teams in the top 25 right now. We have the most top 25 teams.
It's crazy.
It's insane. But anyways, if you're treating it like U.S. football, and you get freaking, you know, your Oscar nom movies are up there playing D1, it's like. Okay, maybe call Revenant or something, you know, that's like Alabama. Or no, Shawshank would be a better reference for like Alabama. But then you get, you know,
big heavy hitters that are trying to be heavy hitters. Got the budget, got the funding.
Exactly.
I guess that's
but
the
then
same
you
word,
still
but
get
I mean,
something that comes
the,
in like Moonlight, who's like an absolute sister school that's just gonna come in and just today's
way
their day.
Lower budget.
They're gonna fucking stomp you because they wanted it more.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it's like, it's all based off visual look of like, damn, they came out swinging. Like, initially looking at the numbers, looking at the specs, looking at their depth chart, on paper, they might not be the best front runner, but then you put them out there and you get to see them play
it's
and
the
they fucking come out.
It's the intangible.
Dude, Moonlight just came out and they wanted it, baby. They wanted to go hard, wrap them up. Wrap them up.
On paper, the Revenant had way better numbers, so this year we're going to draft Moonlight because the intangibles are just better.
You know, Moonlight was real sleeper player coming out of the draft, but they really put everything in their off-season work, and they really came out strong this start of the season, and we can't wait to see how they
track. So basically, I'm saying your grading system misses a lot, and you're saying mine misses a lot.
I'm not saying any of that. You're make a distinct point, and I'm just saying it's like a...
Because I'm trying to understand what you're saying, and I kind of do, but I also don't. Basically, what I'm saying is I take an account of all these different differences that these movies have and then grade it with that. And you're saying you don't and grade them on different lists, kind of. Or you're not going to say one movie's better than the other because they're fighting in a different weight class. Like UFC fighters, that's a great one. That one's a really easy one. Different weight classes. You're not going to say some... ultra heavyweight.
So that's the reference that finally like clicks it for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The division one was like, well, that's a little harder.
Well, it wasn't divisions though. I was talking like, say you got...
the different soccer leagues kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Well, even with the football one, it's like you got Alabama, but then say you got some, you know, Mountain West school comes in and kicks the crap out of Alabama. That was kind of the reference I was doing with like Shawshank to Moonlight.
No, I get it.
It's not really like...
The intangibles matter, but at the end of the day, it's really who comes out and puts the best show on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I grade it.
Yeah, and then once they put that show on the field, I'm like, damn, y'all looked pretty. I'm going to put you in the highlight reel. And then that's how they get that top ranking.
See, how you were first describing how you separated them didn't sound that's what you were trying to say. It sounded different. And I don't know if anybody at home is just going to think like, wow, both of you are fucking idiots. Why do I like watch your show?
Dude, plot twist. Everybody at home is going, dang, that's how I can remember more movies. Because once you start categorizing them, you can start referencing them like side by side more often. It's kind of fucking nuts. Think of your brain like a filing cabinet and you're just
that's
trying
why
to
I
like
just use a filing cabinet. Actually, I don't. I use Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they should sponsor us.
I've emailed them a couple times.
They're not going to sponsor us.
No, probably not.
No, okay, I get it. It's like you're not going to compare an ultra heavyweight with a phantom weight because it's just not fair.
Right, but it's also like when you if you're breaking them into that those large of categories is like that big of a difference because like that's kind of why I was saying like like, non-UFC. I was saying football is like, in football, you got your different tiers of like SEC is always, you know, top dog, but then you got Big 10, Pac 12, Big 12, whatever. And it's like, there's different tiers within all of those. And it's like, they can still play against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's where like, I think you were getting confused with like the overlap of it. And like, that's why I think sports was like the right category for me. Is even with like soccer, is like a team that gets relegated can get unrelegated and go up and play against different teams and still rise the ladder. Cause like, we've also on this movie or on the podcast, we've talked about movies that had really bad box offices and then went on to have very prolific aftermarket lives.
Yeah.
That like carried on to be great.
I think we're probably agreeing.
I think we are.
But we just
can't grasp each other's point.
What I'm getting at with the UFC thing is like, you can't say one fighter is better than the other because they just,
they're different.
They're different.
Right. But it's that's like, what you put them in a head.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Kind
of,
yeah.
If you put him to a head-to-head, the heavyweight, probably going to win. Just based off of physics, kind of.
Right, but that...
And that's the kind of same thing with a movie. If you put a very similar story movie, one with a really big budget and one with a really small budget, the one with the bigger budget is probably going to turn out a better product because it has the resources behind it. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, we've kind of delved into something that's gotten deeper than my original thing. My original thing was just the fact of, like, there are different scales of movies. And what I mean by that is there are movies that are going to be nominated for awards. There's movies that are just going to be out there to be blockbuster movies. And then there's movies that are out there just to be enjoyed. That's what I mean by like, you get your Oscar noms kind of ones like Moonlight.
See, where Good you Will lost Hunting me, where whatnot. You lost me is you're talking about scope of a movie, right? Like what it's trying to do.
No.
No, no, no. That's what it sounds like, what you're trying to say.
That's just, I'm saying pure of fact. I'm not saying a scope. I'm saying like a movie comes out and it's like, wow, this movie was really good. This should be going for all of the awards. Or then there's another movie that comes out and they're like, oh, this is really good. I can't see this getting to award status. So it's just going to be a good
movie release.
You're talking
about like, okay, now I see what you're saying.
Then you get into like Happy Madison of just like, yeah, this is a trash movie, but it's meant to be enjoyed.
Okay, now I see what you're saying. Where you lost me was when you brought indie into it as being like, indie is literally just an independent movie. Usually they have a smaller budgets, but that doesn't mean they can't go for the awards. Where you brought in your, now I see what you're saying, you brought that category in and I was confused because that made it sound more like budget rather than the scope. And what I was thinking is more of the scope. Like this movie, we're making it, we're setting out to try to get Oscar awards, right? Versus this movie, just a comedy. We're just trying to make money and like make people laugh. Versus like that. Now I get what you're saying. Okay. When you brought in the indie thing, I was kind of confused. It didn't make sense to me. Now
you got
now,
it.
Now I kind of get it more.
Yeah.
It's like I was thinking beforehand. You were thinking after. So like I was thinking, what's the scope going into the movie to make it? You were thinking of where's this movie kind of at of what it is. Kind of. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you.
I was thinking more on like the production side. Like, oh, we're going to get this massive budget to make this movie go for Oscars. Or like, I'm trying to tell a really intense, serious story. And this is what we have versus like, oh, this movie is just for fun to make a joke, laugh thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when we were talking about our system, like of grading the movie.
Yeah.
For me, when we were talking about that, I was thinking all of the movies that we're grading against would be of that same like scope, right?
Gotcha.
So like if we're talking about a movie that's going to go for Oscars and we're talking about like how good it is, we're talking about in the same category as those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm already thinking about just those movies. I'm not thinking about the,
no, cause I'm the same way. It's like, it's how you group them and how you compare them. And that's how you can remember like doing the category, like categorizing a movie in your head that way. And treating it like that file system is like, that's how you can, or at least for me, it's how I was able to remember a lot more movies and like reference more movies is because you kind of group them all together and you're like, oh, what's another movie that's like similar to that, slightly different, but
you're talking about, you're not going to, an example is like Parasite and Hot Tub Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Very different things.
Yeah.
Kind of. Got it.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't compare it to
You're not going to compare those because there's like...
They belong in two different sections of the filing cabinet. Hot Tub Time Machine is a very funny movie,
but like it makes no like.
Yeah, you would just file them in the cabinet differently, you know?
Got it. Got it. Okay. I kind of see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about like how I first understand what you were trying to say, which is wrong, I believe, is I thought you were saying like a movie like Parasite, just with a much smaller budget, or like a movie like The Avengers. You want to make a superhero movie, but with a much smaller budget. I thought that's kind of how you were talking.
Gotcha.
Not like just very different genres and very different understandings of what the movie's trying to be.
Gotcha.
See, and that's one of the reasons why trying to like grade all movies just doesn't count. Just doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's just, it's not cut clean
it's
and
not
dry.
Cookie cutter.
It's not cookie cutter.
But good. Either way, today's been kind of fun. I know it's been a little lackadaisical, but yeah. We just wanted to come out here and kind of make the most out of a day we could sit down and talk, you know?
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed it. I've had a good time.
I had a good time. I hope people had a good time listening to it. Although I feel like there's many times where they're just like, you guys are
so dumb.
Just shut up.
Just shut up.
We spent 20 minutes talking about how we grade movies without actually grading a single movie.
Well, I mean, we already did this one.
That's true.
It's 8.5 to 9 Carpes.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think it's time for everybody to go out and do the thing. So
seize the day.
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Oh, captain, my captain. You almost fell?
I did.